There's an old joke that goes like this. What's a plinth? A plinth is a person that marries a plintheth. Okay, it's a bit feeble, I know. But it introduces a subject that has been much discussed over the past few months. Because, of course, a plinth is actually a base for erecting statues, and there has been much debate about who ought to be honoured and remembered by being immortalised in our public spaces as statues. We've seen American presidents torn down and a British philanthropist thrown into the sea, while numerous other statues have been graffitied and damaged or requiring protection to avoid suffering a similar fate. But of course, Thomas Jefferson wasn't torn down for his role as president, and Edward Colston wasn't dragged through the streets because of his generous gifts to the city of Bristol. But both were in the spotlight for their links with slavery. While in some part of their lives, things they had done seemed to merit being honoured, other aspects which were focused on less in their lifetimes are now rightly seen to be repugnant. One thing that surprised me about this whole unfolding story in the media was how quickly after the statues had been taken down, the conversation turned to the topic of who should replace these men on the now vacant plinths. Because, of course, the lens of history regularly refocuses, and anyone deemed deserving of being elevated now, in the early part of the 20th century, is in danger of suffering the same fate as their predecessors on the plinth, of being viewed differently in a different era, of having some other aspects of their actions and characters highlighted as seriously flawed. Because it is true that no one is perfect, all of us, from the great and the good down to the seemingly insignificant, are capable of noble deeds one day and shameful actions the next. Recently, I've been listening to a series of sermons working through the book of 1 Samuel, following the life of David. In 1 Samuel chapter 24, David has the opportunity to kill his nemesis Saul, who has been hunting him down to kill him unjustly. With the chance to easily dispose of Saul and elevate himself to the position of king, David restrains himself, knowing that to do so would be not right, as Saul was still God's anointed king. David's men urge him to seize the opportunity and do away with Saul, but even with that encouragement, he resists the temptation and lets Saul escape. And yet, in the very next chapter, David sends a request for help to a man he rightly believes owes him a favour and is turned down. David's immediate reaction is to have all his men grab their swords to go on a vengeful attack, and only the quick thinking of a woman averts a slaughter. Noble deeds one day, petty revenge the next. David, the man capable of bravery in battle, fortitude under attack, loyalty and friendship, is also, from reading his whole story, a murderer, weak with women and indecisive at key moments. And he's not the only person in the Bible we read of having two sides to their character. Think of Noah, Peter, Samson, Jacob, among others. We are very prone in our generation to build people up into celebrities, only to tear them down as their flaws become apparent. Sports stars, actors, politicians, heroes one day, vilified the next. Old Testament wisdom says, "Who can say, I have made my heart pure, I am clean from my sin?" And surely there is not a righteous person on earth who does good and never sins. In Romans, Paul says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But wonderfully, he continues, that we are justified by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The truth is that no one can either merit or survive being held up to intense public scrutiny. But the truth of God's grace is that he knows us in every minute detail, honourable and shameful, and yet he loves and welcomes us. Revelation 4, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honour and power." Who is worthy? None but God, who amazingly raises us up to sit with him through no merit of our own, but because of Jesus' death on the cross. I have a feeling that an empty plinth might say more than simply looking about quickly for someone worthy of taking the vacant place.